step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Creighton Waters told reporters after the Supreme Court ruling that the genie is out of the bottle. Every potential juror already knows the Murdaugh saga, but the court just told his team they can't present it the way they did the first time either. Prosecutors, they spent 12 and a half hours on financial crimes testimony in the original trial. The Supreme Court called it excessive, prejudicial, and said it went far beyond what was necessary. Now the AG's office has to prove the same murder case with its strongest narrative weapon, on a leash, a defense that has seen every card in the deck in a jury pool saturated in 3 years of coverage. Bob Mata, host of Defense Diaries, is with us to break down what the prosecution may have up their sleeve this time in the next trial of Alec Murdaugh. There's a ton of witnesses that are going to come back for a repeat experience. Let me ask you this, Bob. As a defense attorney, in a retrial type situation, when you are bringing witnesses back to the stand, you're going to question them. They're going to give their testimony. What happens if their testimony doesn't quite line up with the same way it lined up the first time? Is that something that then the defense can bring up during the actual trial, going, wait a second, you just impeached yourself from what you said in round one? And I guess what is the bar on that? Because I'm sure they're ready to make mountains out of molehills, because it will certainly be exciting in front of a jury. And when you're talking about a crime that committed this many years ago, everyone is human. The mind may sometimes be off on certain things. I'm not saying like massively different stories like Alec pitched of being at the kennels or not. I'm saying just little nuances here and there, things like that. What could be impeached? What will be pointed at? Is it literally, you better say pretty much exactly what you said, or they're going to be all over you?
Yeah, I mean, look, if it's a prior inconsistent statement, you do exactly what you said. You impeach him on it. You know, you basically, with the transcripts, it's that testimony's locked in. It was under oath. It was in a courtroom. No one could ever say it was hearsay because it's not. So, you know, what you do if you're the defense, and it goes for Creighton Waters as well. You know, I mean, if the defense is going to put it on any experts or anybody that was a witness in the first trial and they have inconsistent statements, the state obviously has the ability to be able to impeach them too. But if you're going to nitpick on things that are really of no significance, it's going to damage you. It's got to be something substantive that is being changed.
Could they also, I mean, so if you're doing that and putting me on the stand, I can say, can you please refresh my memory on what I said last time? And I'll just say, yeah, that again. I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, you can certainly say, I don't recall, like if they ask you what you said during the first trial. But typically the way that the impeachment goes is you got to lay the trap, you know, you got to perfect the impeachment. So, right. Typically there's going to be a questions asked and they'll know ahead of time, or they'll have a pretty good idea, but they're going to have all these areas marked in terms of the transcripts from the first trial wherein they're going to test the waters to see if they change their answers. And then if they do at that point, then they'll impeach them at that point. But they've got to get them saying something different at this trial. And then once they perfect the impeachment, then they can go back and impeach him with what they said at the prior trial. But again, it's not going to be nuanced turns of phrases that you're impeaching. You know, okay. saying the same thing, but saying it in a different way is an impeachment. You know,
right, because it's completely plausible over periods of time, watching news, watching social media, that your recollection of what happens, the timing of it, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, that can shift around a bit after periods of time and listen to other people and their thoughts, their opinions, watching true crime shows. I mean, there's a lot of things that can start shifting. It's not going to shift from the core, but how that core is delivered, that can shift and still be accurate. That's why I would want to know what I said the last time, because to refresh my memory from to clear the fog of all the other shit that infused it between then and now.
Yeah, well, I am sure that Creighton Waters is going to prep his witnesses.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
We know we're like, that's the advantage for both sides in a retrial. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're plugging in holes. If there's soft spots that are existent in testimony, you're trying to get that thing fixed. And, you know, no one's going to be surprised by anything that comes out. Now, from the defense side of it, it's a little bit different because we know what Creighton's case is. The interesting part about Creighton's case is that they've trimmed so much of the financial crime stuff in terms of what he's going to be able to do, that it's going to be a different case in chief that they're going to put on. It's going to be shorter, which is fine. He didn't need to do 12 hours, which equaled, I don't know how, like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it was like a week and a half of...
It went on forever.
Yeah.
It went on forever. It was too much because his motive, which is why he needed the financial crime stuff, it was the whole gathering storm, his famous little... It was the gathering storm.
In Family Annihilator, we learned that term. You know? We learned that term in the trial, too.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in other cases. So where do you... Because I... The arc, you know, leading up to this, if you don't actually have a confession, you don't actually have, you know, his DNA, you know, whatever it is that the hard evidence in that moment, you were saying on another case, and you know, that you can't use all those prior things saying that it led up to this as kind of, you know, passes prologue kind of moments. So without doing that with him, how do you do it? How do they build that case? And how come they can't use those things?
Well, they can. I mean, the Supreme Court didn't tell him, and I'm talking about the Supreme Court of South Carolina. They didn't tell him that he can't get into it. They just said you can't wallow in it. You know what I mean? It's like he can certainly get into the fraud, but they just got to trim all the fat and just get right to it. And look, here's the reality. Whether or not they prevail on their change of venue, which I suspect they will, everybody knows about this case. But I say that kind of tongue in cheek, because us in the true crime world, we think that everybody knows everything about every case. Nobody knows shit about anything. We're a bunch of weirdos talking about true crime all the time. You go 8 out of 10 people, if you're walking down the street in any kind of major city, you say, "Hey, what do you think about that Murdoch case?" You'd be like, "What?"
You're also right, Bob.
I looked up the DNA. There was not enough on that sample taken to be loaded into CODIS.
I totally agree. I mean, sometimes you throw a case out there and then you really hear what people are actually absorbing from the case. And it's like, no, that's not what's happening at all. So you got that going on. Let me ask you this, Bob, as a defense attorney, when it comes into a retrial, a situation like this, a case that is obviously locally known, nationally known here, What are the pros and cons here of jury selection on a retrial? Is it more difficult because there's far more people who are going to have an opinion? Is it better because when the ones that don't have an opinion really don't have an opinion because they're that far removed and this is not in their ether and part of their lexicon and at all? Tell me about that. What are they looking at when it comes to jury selection, whether this happens there in Hampton County or if it's moved to another location?
You are absolutely, if you're the defense, looking for people that legitimately don't know anything about the case. If you're Creighton, you want people knowing all about the case.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how many docuseries there's been on this, but there's been quite a few. tons of podcasts, you know, tons of coverage in true crime in general. But again, like you said, if that's not in your ether and there's, you know, I'm always surprised that people are like, yeah, true crime's a niche on the, or niche, whichever way you pronounce it. I'm a niche guy because I'm from Chicago. But I think that there's a large portion of the population that doesn't get into true crime. If you're the defense, those are the folks that you want, because you want a trimmed down motive in terms of what he's going to be able to produce in terms of the fraud. Okay. So if you're talking like you're trimming it down from 12 hours to 90 minutes. And I never loved personally, I did not love at all that motive. Like to me, it was a bit of a hard sell.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that Creighton is going to have to really work on that in terms of that motive theory. You know, I mean, he sold it, or did he? I don't know. I mean, Murdoch was such a piece of shit that he was getting convicted either way.
Yeah, can you pivot that much away from that original motive during the during his new prosecution?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you really need to pivot away from it, though? Do you need to just do a better job at explaining it to the jury like they're three-year-olds? Or just anybody? Because it is kind of a bizarre concept until you've seen it in action. Because there's plenty of cases where there are family annihilators. But I guess how well can you educate a jury on that in this sort of a setting, Bob? How much will a court let in to go, here's examples of what a family annihilator? I mean, can you do that? What kind of a leash are you on to educate someone on a foreign concept, on what a family annihilator really is, for people who don't even think that a human being could be capable of this? No one could ever do that. Surprise, they do.
It's going to be fought in motions in limine, but essentially the state would have to get an expert. You know, I mean, they'd have to get an expert to educate the jury on it. And if the judge found that it would be helpful to the jury, then the judge will allow that expert to come in and talk about it. Because frankly, it's a hard concept.
It is.
To get people to understand how anyone could do that to their own child and their wife. Like, not so much the wife, because you see it so often, because people are fucking idiots.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, instead of getting divorced, they decide to kill their spouse, which is just, I'll never understand that. I'll never understand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as like the level of violence in terms of Paul's death, in terms of his entire skull being blown open, is insane to me that a father could do that. So do I think there's value in having an expert come in and explain to a jury in what set of circumstances that this can arise, that this is a thing, that it does happen? I mean, you can make the argument that Corey Richens was also a gathering storm case.
Yeah, completely.
You know, I mean, her story's not so different. That motive is not so different than Murdoch's motive. I mean, his was a little more insane, but the same problems. It was money problems, you know, and it was shit was coming down the pike, you know. But his concept, Creighton's concept, that, you know, like this was a sympathy bomb that Murdoch thought he was detonating, that was going to somehow, you know, squirrel everybody's attention away from him, and they're all going to be feeling so sympathetic that they're not going to be looking at the fact that he was a thief. You know, I mean, obviously when you think about it as a logical person, you know, it's insane, but this goes back to what Robin was saying. You know, if this guy was popping, and it doesn't have to be that insane amount of pills, if he's using all day, every day, no matter what the volume is, he's not thinking clearly at all. You know what I'm saying? He's dealing in a murky world. And, you know, he's just not processing things properly. And, you know, in his warped mind, that may have been a way to say, all right, well, this is kind of a move. Maybe this will work. You know, he had to know that there was no long play there, like that was only going to last for so long that the chickens were still coming home to roost at some point. Yes. So, you know, which is, you know, and that's the thing where to that question exactly about how do you get in this kind of concept of a family annihilator, it would have been helpful for me if I were on the jury, because that was one of the harder things for me to kind of grapple with, because I knew enough about Murdoch and that family history and his history with his wife and his kids that you could tell that he genuinely, truly loved them, and that his life until he spun out of control with the drug use and like what that's a chicken or the egg thing for me. I don't know what came first, the drug use or if he started pilfering the money or if he started pilfering the money because of the drug. I don't know. I don't know that answer in terms of when that started. But what I do know, and I felt very secure in believing, is the fact that this guy had deep affection for his family.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard place for me to get to think that he could have done that by his own hand, which is why I've always been of the theory that, and again, it's not a defense theory because it puts him as a principal. You hire two goofballs, two badgers to do this, two local clowns. You're saying you're using my guns on the property. I'm going to dispose of them. I don't trust you morons to do anything with them. I'll get rid of them. You get these two guns, you do the damn thing. You let me know that it happened and I'm off. You know what I mean? And like, I'm going to call you and give you, to me, it made more sense in terms of him going down to the kennels and he's like, all right, you know, he calls the two clowns that are sitting off the property and is like, yo, they're down there. Go do this damn thing and whatever. And then he holes up in the house and these two guys or whatever come and do this awful shit. And then he grabs the guns and goes to his mother's property and does whatever he's going to do with the guns because he doesn't want these two guys out in the world with evidence that can convict them. Like that's always been kind of like my concept of like, but again, that's only because I have a hard time grappling because I am a father of four.
Sure.
I can't bring my mind to there ever being a situation.
I think that as well. And here's the behavior behind it, not just because we can't wrap our minds around it because we're fathers and we can't imagine such an abhorrent thing, but also as his housekeeper was saying, he never did anything for himself. And so this, in other words, him having not hired someone would be a blip in his normal everyday behavior of having someone do his dirty work, his laundry, his making his food, doing things for him. He always had someone hired hand doing something. So that would fit a pattern in his behavior. And I'm of the mindset of doubling down on that family annihilator thing of it, them. You don't even need, I think, in other words, like to your point, Bob, you don't know what came first, the drugs, drug addiction issues or dealing with bad money situations. You can ignore the money entirely, focus on the drug issues and the drug issues causing the cascading effect of a family annihilator. And that is what prosecution goes down as to why he did X, Y, and Z. But then it runs into the muddy water of hiring someone. But that's, again, on the defense side. But that all kind of fits to me as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, the equation here, I was kind of like literally writing out like plus signs, minus signs. If you can get character witnesses to show what his state of mind was like in the day or two leading up to this, if they can get people to show he was fucking drugged up, he was not the, like, whatever they have to say. I don't know what it would be, but if you have that would be powerful. You mix in the examples of his narcissistic lifestyle that he basically lived, and then you have something to explain family annihilation a bit, what that does to someone with that sort of a mindset, the ego, the shame, the image, all piling down, which does kind of go to family annihilator, but I don't think you need to go family annihilator full stop. And you add one more thing in, drug use. So yeah. State of mind, narcissism to a fucking T, to an extreme, the ego, the shame, the image that is all falling away, add a couple drugs to that, and it suddenly makes it plausible that this person would eliminate his family. He's ashamed that they're going to look at him differently. They're also the people, his son is someone who really kind of brought the cards falling down through the boat crash, all of his crimes, financial crimes being exposed through that lever. So you got to imagine, even though it's your son, you got some rage there. You got some resentment there. Maybe they want to kill your son, but you're mad. and Maggie's about to leave him. So there's a lot of things there that show Alec wasn't in the best family state with these folks at that moment in time. And you lower the inhibitions, you lower the decision-making process through the drugs, it becomes not so impossible. And that's what they probably need to try and communicate to a jury. Is he
cognizant enough because of his drug use to be aware of it?
You know, well, I mean, look at so how he was when the cops came. I mean, we saw how he was when we have the, you know, his interview and his white shirt when they show up at the crime scene.
Yeah, and yeah,
I'm talking about the, you know, kind of the details of the things that you're talking about. Like, did they ever? I cannot recall. Mm-hmm. Did they ever? Were they able to show that Maggie actually had gone to a divorce attorney?
I believe they did. I could be wrong, but I believe that was part of the. I could be wrong, but I believe it was part of the first trial in some way, shape, or form.
And does Murdoch know it? You know what I mean? To me, knowledge is always the key.
Right. Like,
people can't be worried about shit that they don't know.
Well, she wasn't living with him. She was living at the beach house. So I think one can at least glean there was knowledge there, but I would imagine, I don't know. I don't know. Do not know the answer to that, but I would say your odds are probably good that there's going to be some way to show that.
See, and I think that that's more related to, you know, the fact that either Paul or Buster, I can't remember which one, found like his stash. You know, obviously they're going to Maggie. They're like, dad's still using. It was not, the family was not oblivious to the fact that Alec was using.
No, everybody knew he was.
Right. So, you know, Maggie, in terms of like what the impetus of that divorce was, probably had nothing to do with the financials, as I think that he probably was hiding that fact from her.
Yeah.
The drug use and she was doing, like, so, I don't know, man. I still don't love that motive. I just don't.
I don't either. But it seems, I think there's a way to present it in a more clear way than was done on round one.
What about like, was Cousin Eddie or whatever the fuck that guy's name was? He was that like an actual attempt?
Like, well, he was shot.
Was he actually supposed to kill him, or like, are we supposed to believe that guy? Whatever, is it Cousin Eddie? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's Cousin Eddie. Yeah.
So is Cousin Eddie enough of a crack shot that he can just make sure that he just skims the grazes the top?
Well, Eddie said he didn't do it. Eddie said he wouldn't do it, and that Alec did it to himself.
And
it was like he was shocked, like he didn't know what Alec wanted, and that he's like, I'm not going to shoot you, like that's insane, and he was going to try and pin it in that direction. But I mean, there's a lot of theories, and I'm not saying Cousin Eddie killed them, but there's a lot of people who look at that and go, was he the hitman? I personally don't believe that. I'm interested in hearing any theories.
He doesn't have a problem.
The whole thought process, though, that of that entire thing, though, is that arc towards his incredibly irrational decision-making ability. Because what this looks like is, again, as we're chatting, I'm looking it up, you know, that kind of drug use of what he was doing at that level, what it would look like to the outsider as it slow burned up there. Because in other words, you don't go from not taking any drugs to taking the volume he was taking. This is going to be an escalating slow burn. And to everyone around him, even people closer, he's high functioning, well-connected lawyer who is under stress. So he looked like he's under stress, tired, irritable, and secretive. And it's the decision-making skills of his would continually plummet. And I think the testimony that could help the lack of decision-making skills are the stupid things he was trying to do, like hire someone to kill him or wound him and then shooting himself without, I mean, that right there shows that what the drugs were doing on decision-making that manifested this.
Are you going like by his own a hand? Headshot on a...
Like, see what I mean? I mean, the entire thought process for someone who's supposed to be this high-thinking lawyer is, or any human being, don't even look at it from Alex Murdoch's point of view, any human being, what thinking human being with two marbles rolling around think this is a good idea to do? You know, I mean, just think about,
I mean, I'm with you on all that, Rob.
They wouldn't. And the Alec without the drugs in his system wouldn't, but the Alec with a lot of drugs in his system did.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's the difference. Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to get your thoughts there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe. Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeet.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.